Should we record a podcast?
I mean, that's ostensibly the reason we're here, isn't it?
It is. I think should. Should is an operative word.
I mean, that may have been a poor choice of phrasing, really. Mm. There's nothing about this podcast that should be happening, but...
Okay. Okay, good.
Ladies, greetings, Apropossy. Buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host.
Sorry, Jenna. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James. And Jenna.
With very special guest
friends,
Craig
Guinness.
Somebody's drinking Guinness.
Is it you, Jenna?
No. I will occasionally drink some Guinness if I get drunk enough and desperate enough. Well, because Guinness is like the least hoppy beer out there.
It's the last guy in the bar.
Look, I'm not even going to pretend like that date only happened once. I had a date many times like that before. I'm drinking Twisted Tea, because of course I am.
Yeah. Seems excellent of you. I have chosen the more foolhardy Hard Mountain Dew.
Oh, God.
Jesus, James.
This is the standard flavor?
James, do we need to, like, call someone? Or are you okay? Blink twice if you're okay.
I'll probably blink a lot, but...
James, are you a teenager?
I feel like this
trying
level...
to sneak booze in, like for your first time of drinking. Cause...
No, then it would be Keystone Light.
I feel like this level of self harm requires, you know, possible intervention.
Was that what Salsa said, or was that the Hard Mountain Dew?
A little of each. Honestly, it's not terrible.
Every time you say something like that, I'm like, it's probably terrible.
It's not terrible. It's bad, but it's not terrible.
Yes. Okay. So if I go to, I don't know, Hardee's, right? I go to a Hardee's or a Carl's Jr. Sure. I'm not there for a steak. And they sure as shit don't have it.
No, that's accurate. Yeah.
What they do have is a burger the size of my two fists put together.
Sure.
Plus a bun.
Mm-hmm.
That has enough grease to load up all the Zerk fittings on an 18-wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what I'm in the mood for.
Yes.
I'll go there. Similarly,
right.
If what
Which
I want
is why I haven't been to Wendy's since 1998.
I mean, Wendy's kind of too. Wendy's actually has
or
a little more respectable burgers.
Or Carl's, whatever you said.
The restaurants. Salsa doesn't go to restaurants.
I've had a weekend, y'all. Just what do you want from me?
Honey.
What do you want from me?
Do you want to start talking about your weekend? My weekend was actually pretty delightful overall. So if y'all want to talk about your weekends and then we can wrap up with mine, try to end it on a light note.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a busy weekend. Fest happened.
It rained.
It rained less than I thought it was going to. And that was counterintuitively more exhausting because
you prepared for the wrong things.
I prepared for rain And I mentally went, oh, it's going to be a day huddled backstage in my cloak where I get to just chill out. And then it wasn't. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so instead of taking a lazy day like I was fully expecting, I worked a full weekend.
Jesus.
Yep. You know?
And so, like, I didn't have that mental preparation. Which is my own fault. But it did mean that I was not prepared for what I did. And, you know, that was work to very busy crowds, very energetic crowds, very, you know, crowds that took a lot of energy to entertain. And, yeah, I definitely exhausted myself. And I am reaching that point in the season where I'm just running out of steam. This doing what I do is very rough on my body, and I can only keep it up for so long before it starts to take its toll, and it's starting to take its toll, you know.
I'm
doing better this year than I have in past years. Usually I start to reach burnout by like week 4 or 5.
Right.
This time around it's week 6 before I'm starting to hit burnout.
You only got what? 3-4 more weeks of this?
Yeah, I've got one more week and then I have a week off, and then I have one more show after that before I can wrap up my season this year.
All right.
Baraboo.
But I'm also trying to build a shed right now.
Right.
And so that's tiring.
Yeah, but I heard you got a great deal on it.
We did. We got a great deal on it, but pressure-treated lumber is heavy.
Yes, it is.
And I'm trying to put in the platform to put the shed on, and trying to shift that around is a big fucking heavy platform now or so.
What are you using for the footings?
Wood.
All right.
Like I'm burying brick, and then sinking wood down to the brick.
Gotcha.
He's basically doing uprights down to a brick layer, basically. So, brick pavers, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Something flat that will dissipate the pressure a little bit into the dirt.
Do you know what you're? So. Well, of course you know. I'm trying to think how to phrase this. Would you care to share what the shed is for, the purpose of this?
Garden. It's a garden shed. We're going to put the lawnmower and the snowblower and, you know, gardening tools and shovels and axes and stuff like that. And the kids' bicycles and stuff like that will all go in the shed.
A lot of that is probably kept in your garage right now, right?
It's kept in the garage right now, but between having our camper in the garage over the winter, that takes up a lot of room. And then we try to cram the snowblower and the lawnmower and the bicycles and everything else in there. And
the lambs and the sloths.
It leaves me very little room for
an actual car.
The car, once you get the car in there, it leaves me very little room for a work area.
Okay. Sure.
I've got my lathe in the corner, and I kind of have to, like, climb my way over stuff to get to it. And if I want to do any actual woodworking or something, I need to park the car outside until the project is done.
In the Harvard yard. Yeah.
So this'll get some of that just garden stuff and the bicycles and the lawnmower out of the garage so that it frees up a little bit more space for just getting around the garage. Cause otherwise the garage is just packed to the gills with stuff. So.
Nice.
So yeah, that's been a lot of work. That's a project that'll.
So that's draining you. Fest is draining you.
Yep. Although I felt pretty good. I was nominated for an award, I guess.
Were you? Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. I don't remember which one. One of the, like...
Sir.
Pinnacle of...
I don't even know.
The... icon of the deep one.
You know what? The best sword swallower at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Boy, don't do that, because if I don't win that one, then it's going to be really embarrassing.
That would be so sad.
Yeah. MNRF's best Casimir.
Yeah. Second place.
Shit. I'm going to have to start a character called Kazamar then, and just see if I can get the Casimir award.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm not terribly worried about it. I'm not going to win it, so whatever. But it's still kind of cool to have. Yeah, it would be recognized.
It's an honor just to be nominated.
Is it, though?
That's what you're supposed to say, Salsa. Otherwise, everybody thinks you're an asshole.
Oh, I am an asshole, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, well, never mind. There. Yeah.
Well, never mind then.
I had to look it up. Look up which celebrity it was, because there are always the celebrity look-alike snow clone things where it's like so and so entered a celebrity look-alike contest for themselves and took second or third or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, Dolly Parton did that once.
Dolly Parton lost a Dolly Parton look-alike contest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think Lady Gaga did once too.
You are correct.
Yeah. No, I like I said, I'm not terribly worried about it. I've already won awards
in your heart.
Like, no, I've already won bottomless hat and excellence in entertainment.
A series of awards.
Like, I don't have anything to prove to anyone.
La dee da.
Do you know how many awards I won?
None.
I do.
Aside from Unicorn, one, and that was with Vilification Tennis. Vilification
Tennis one, yeah.
Yep, that's
it. I would have had that one, but I quit.
You quit a year early, buddy.
As the as the old joke goes, we couldn't have done it with you.
Yep.
So. We were finally nominated the year you left.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It was.
Not coincidentally, the year Jessa started.
No, I had the same kind of visceral reaction. It's the Fondazzi's 20th year this year.
Mm-hmm.
And like backstage, you know, people were like, yeah, here's, you know, they were having these very heartfelt moments of, you know, here's these presents that everybody's giving each other for 20 years. And I'm kind of sitting there just going, yep.
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 Mm-hmm.
Give everybody a 15.
Did you give everybody?
It was just like, I mean, and I'm absolutely not casting shade on this person whatsoever. They absolutely deserve everything. But it was just like the person who's been with the Fondazzi for 5 years was like, yay, 20 years, woohoo. And I'm like, I was with you guys for 12. But I'm not now.
Just get a couple of people a bottle of Macallan 12.
Like, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, no, absolutely no shade. You know, I'm not trying to be like, I'm me, or anything like that. It was just one of those moments where it was just like, I'm sitting there just going, I'm just gonna.
Well.
Go over there for a little bit.
Yeah, I might get up and wander. Yeah.
The one thing that bothered me.
Kind of punched me in the feels a little bit.
I don't have to go to my ex's wedding.
I get that. Well, I had... Somebody asked me at one point...
Let alone the honeymoon. Oh, what?
Somebody had asked me at one point if I had heard of Fondazzi, and I was like... I helped found that group, you goddamn motherfucker. Yes, I've heard of Fondazzi. Like, in my mind, I'm like, nobody knows what I did. But, like, externally, of course, I'm like, yes, I have, in fact, heard of Fondazzi. Thanks.
Huh, what spelling? What, can you, it sounds, it's familiar.
Is it spelled like fantasy?
I've heard of them. That's the first date answer.
But it's one of those things, like, you can't actually be upset, right?
No,
like,
not
you can,
at all.
You can have those feelings of like, oh. Yeah. But, like, you know, it's not a slight, really. It's not an any, it's just what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, and if they had tried to get me something, I would have been like, that doesn't make sense. I'm not with the group right now. Like,
right.
And so it would have been more weird if they had done something.
Right.
And but it was just like I said, just kind of sitting there in that moment, just sitting in, you know, backstage hanging out with everybody, and then they come and it's like, hey, you know, we got everybody these presents, and everybody has this big, like, oh, tearful, like, oh, that's very nice. And I'm just like kind of sitting on like, I'm just gonna I'm just gonna, like, I got
you all here. Belts, fuck off.
Yes, there you go.
They paid like for that. The belts.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. And then, it was wet. It was very, very wet.
It's too
but
wet.
The rain managed to hold off until right before my last show.
4 or 5-ish, somewhere in there.
Yeah, like I sped through my last show with one eye on the sky.
To make sure that you didn't drown.
Yeah, because I spend, you know, a third of my show staring straight up, and when I've got a sword down my gullet, I'm a lightning rod. So, like, I was just like, let's, and my sword's rust, so let's not get them wet.
Right.
So it was just, like, the whole show, just, like, trying to keep my energy levels up and be entertaining, but also, like, one eye on the clouds slowly rolling in, going, and we're just gonna get through this a little quicker than normal.
Yeah, so. I mean, at the booth on Saturday, it was because we have a different but similar situation where we also have swords that act as lightning rods.
Indeed, yeah.
Ours are just more external, I guess.
Yeah, they're unshielded. That's the
God. There's no conductor. Oh my God. Anyway, we were doing the same thing where we're like lightning, mm-hmm. thunder for like a
very
while. And then as soon as we heard the first roll of thunder, we were like, and this is the last fight.
Wrap it up.
Done.
Which it happened to be, it was the last fight that we had for a line of people. Like, there was nobody in line afterwards. Oh, and we're like, well, that worked well.
Perfect.
Yeah, people kind of split at a certain point.
Well, it started raining. Really... It started raining before it started getting bad. Like, it was it was raining, but it wasn't raining.
Was plenty of overtures.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Although I will say it's Sunday, because it also rained Sunday, roughly about the same time, I think.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit later, but
not nearly bad either.
No. But we had some people that there wasn't thunder or lightning, so we stayed open, and we would have, like, one person would be in the ring, and, like, the only other patrons in that area would walk by, and they'd be like, oh, we want to do that. So they'd come in. And then they'd be the only ones in the ring. Mm-hmm. And then another couple of patrons would walk into the area and they'd be like, oh, we want to do that.
Sure.
Like, it was a slow trickle of just continuous going. But at one point I had convinced one person to continue fighting their fight partner until they won. And they had a gaggle of people with them that were all huddled under my umbrella to watch their friends fight.
Fantastic.
They did 3 rounds. They only did 3 rounds, and the third one was a tie, and she was like, nope, that's it. That's good. I'm done.
Yep.
But yeah, I was excited for that, man. I was like, oh yeah. I tricked somebody into staying in the booth for a while. I was like chatting with the friends. They're like, oh my God, this is so cool, blah blah blah, whatever. It was great. It was fantastic. Also, I had gotten popcorn, so I also had popcorn.
Oh, yeah. To make the viewing experience
exactly
much better.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean that was. I didn't mean to step on your thing, Salsa. I just went, ooh.
No, rain. I didn't. It's not like I had like a story to tell. It was just that's kind of that was how my weekend went. You know, yeah. it was surprisingly busy.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Esther showed up on Sunday.
Yes, friend.
Yep. And gave me a flower.
Yeah.
Aww.
And it was very sweet. And I was very, very moved by that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yep. Oh, God.
So, yeah. Did
you have your last call canceled, or did that go off?
No. It happened. It was in
one of
the tents.
Oh, they moved it to the event tent.
Okay. So people were a little sodden when we got to Banner Oak. Sure. To scoop them up and bring them where they needed to go. They were all like pressed under the various elements of cover.
Yeah.
Having gotten their wristbands and some people their beers just like up against the walls. So we got the huddled masses out of there and brought them into the tent.
Mm-hmm.
Just about the time, and you know, it was sort of, you know, spattering, but it wasn't until we got in there that it really let loose.
Mm-hmm.
And just opened up.
Loud in there.
It was, and that's the thing, is the tent is a fantastic space for a lot of things, but live vocal performance without amplification is not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It is when it's raining, loud as fuck in there.
Yep.
No,
I've had to do shows in there before when it was raining.
It's and so it was still a good show. We had a really nice audience. Unfortunately, I came up with the perfect toast for that specific show, or anytime it's raining, but only after we had already said goodnight to everybody. And
right.
And I was like,
as you do.
Yep.
What I should have said. Humor. Yeah. Yep. Esprit de Scalier. Yeah. The show went just fine, but the folks that were joining us, the acts, almost all of them were, you know, grabbing dry clothes and trying to avoid getting their props and stuff poured, you know, like just sodden and whatever.
Sure.
So, folks ended up getting into the tent probably 5 to 10 minutes before the actual event started.
Okay.
Because we didn't want them just getting soaked.
Of course.
And then we ended up waiting, I think, an extra 10 to 20 minutes after the show started for our first performer to arrive.
Oh, man.
So we filled time. Which is fine. That's something we're going to have to do occasionally.
It's kind of a part of your job description,
it
actually.
It definitely is. And this coming weekend, we're going to have to do a little bit more because some of those acts are going to other festivals.
Yep.
Right.
Carolina's but starting.
The audience was really sweet. They were great. And we ended up getting them out maybe 10, 15 minutes late. So they actually got an extra probably half hour of program, which gave them more than enough time to drink their beers, which was great because I But I did tell them, those of them that still had beers, I said, hey, on the plus side, as you walk, your beer will refill itself and become increasingly American. So the...
Nice. Well played.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had some really, really good tables in there and, had a fun time. The only problem that I had was I had been ringing for 3.5 hours that Saturday. Mm. And so my voice was gone. I don't know how to meter that. Which is honestly not, that's not a brag or a big if true or anything like that. Like, that is my own stupidity. So.
Okay. I will say, just look, I'm not going to give you an excuse,
right?
But I will add to the challenge of, cause I am really good at projection and I'm really good at sustained projection. Mm-hmm. I'm very tiny, so I had to learn how to do it well. Mm-hmm. And and the thing is, after having actually done some ring mastering for a morning, even though it was just a couple of hours, mm-hmm. It's not about the projection. It's the fucking dust mm-hmm. that particular spot attracts.
There
and
is
I've done bare stage, and mm-hmm. there can be a lot of dust on bare stage. Mm-hmm. It is nothing compared to the amount of dust that you get down the dust tunnel
mm-hmm.
Along the joust track. It's
hay dust too.
Yeah.
Like hay dust is a different beast.
Like I actually had a throat lozenge and I don't think I've done that at Fest in like maybe 12 fucking years. Like that specific spot for being able to project and be heard while ring mastering, it's a bitch and a half. It's probably one of the hardest challenges I've ever had. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to excuse you because you could do better, but
always,
I am going to let you know that is an additional challenge that I had just not mm-hmm. foreseen until I experienced it.
Yeah.
So,
and then, Sunday I did a fencing booth thing with Jenna, which was great.
Cool. Yeah, actually, no, you didn't. Cause I didn't work the morning.
I thought you had been there for a little bit.
I was there in the morning, but I didn't work it. I made coffee for everybody, and then I got dressed and fucked off.
Cole and Josh were holding down your usual position. It takes two of them to do.
I'm not surprised in the least, honestly. Nope.
I thought for a second that was someone's nickname.
Cole and Josh?
Cole and
Josh. As opposed to, like, I... Esophagus Josh?
Yeah, yeah. Like Josh.
As opposed to sphincter Josh?
Yeah, just like butt. He's a butthole. He's a real colon. Colon Josh.
As opposed to hashtag Josh?
Rectum. I barely know him.
Thank you.
You know him pretty well, to be fair.
Yeah, that is.
That's great, Salsa. I am.
Yeah.
James, we have to bestow upon our fearless booth leader a new nickname. That's what's been said. As an aside, I have to say, our buddy at the booth, Cole, is very mad at you too. Because here's the deal. He was the one that submitted the Fast Five last week, and he did not get proper credit. And I am here to correct that fucking mistake that you guys made. It was in fact Cole. Of the fencing booth.
Then why did he say not that one, the other one?
Because it's not cake hole, it's Cole.
Yeah, but it's spelled with a C, so I figured it was a different C spelled one. I don't, whatever.
It's also, you just don't understand kids these days.
Yeah. There's that. But
that look is priceless. 20 years older than I am.
I did.
I know, that's why I said it.
Physically. But
anyway, I just had to relay that on behalf of Cole.
Yeah.
Cole.
Had an enjoyable morning in the booth.
Cole.
Did some ringing again and a little bit of championing, including, so it was such a weird thing. Somebody that I've been sort of erstwhile chatting with from North Dakota showed up and claimed her tickets, and I ran the tickets out to her and everything like that.
Right.
An old college town friend. And then my partner, who is with whom I had attended various schools, grade school and high school and everything like that, she was there and brought her kids, including Margaret, whom we affectionately refer to as Bug. And then also a friend of the podcast, Shay, also visited on Sunday, and brought their children, and also just like so many people came to visit on Sunday very specifically. But Bug had fenced me when I was championing last year, and then Bug decided that she wanted to take fencing, and so she attended a series of fencing classes and got like really good, especially for somebody her size. She's teeny tiny. Even for she's 9 now, but she's so small, and like 90% eyeball by volume. And she did super well at the fencing classes and the fencing camps and that kind of stuff. And she came back this year super excited to fence me, and then in the morning was too shy to do that. Her mom was like, "But Magpie, you said you were super excited. It's all you've been talking about for like 3 weeks is that we're going to go to the Renaissance Festival, and you're going to see James, and you're going to, you know, fence him. You're going to play with swords, and you're going to beat James in fencing, and that's, you're so excited about it, you know, but you don't want to." She's like, I don't know, I can't, you know.
Right, doing the kid thing.
Right. And then fortunately, like just before the end of my shift, she and her mom came back and got in line just in time, so that the last thing that I did before I left the booth for the day was that I got to put on my gear and fence Bug, who is actually really fucking good.
Good. I'm so glad to hear it.
Like, not just for someone who's like 2 feet tall, but like really good. Yeah.
Well, now I need to fight this kid.
Yeah.
I like fighting kids in general. Let's be clear.
When I champion against kids, you usually have like that sort of push pull. I'm trying to get you to hit the fucking balloon. I'm giving you absolutely every opportunity. I'm making it happen for you. There we go. There goes the first balloon. And but no, Bug just like stepped in, lunge, bap, gone, done.
Nice.
5 fucking seconds. I was like, oh well, all right, yeah. So then the balloon that is usually the champion, like turning, doing the heel turn thing and taking this tiny child's balloon and just like reaching over and doing the, you know, that wasn't the thing. That was my opportunity to actually play and be like in,
okay,
and
cool,
and that kind of thing. And so then I did take one of her balloons. She was still just having a fucking blast.
Nice.
And, she came in for that second one and was like ready, bloodthirsty.
Nice.
And just,
oh, that's so good.
Hauled off and just that balloon. Actually, she hit it so hard it was never made in the first place. Was what happened. It has retroactively ceased to exist in our timeline as we know it. I don't think I had that second balloon. So, right. Yeah. So then, you know, we shook hands and that kind of stuff. Just like picked her up joyfully, because we're acquainted.
And that
was, like, yeah, right. She is the child of my partner. She hugs me constantly. So, yeah, I just like scooped her up and, walked her over to her mom, gave her mom a kiss and handed her bug.
Like, yeah.
Which I know it's not the most professional thing, but,
whatever.
Yeah, it was,
you gotta know when to break the rules.
So happy.
Gotta know
so good.
When to hold them.
I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of Bug, and it was so good to see the two of them.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, and, she had dragged her brother out there as well. So it was good to see her brother.
Very cool.
But yeah, had a wild time doing that. And then I didn't get to do my afternoon stuff because there was a bit of a thing, and I had to leave Fest a little early. More information about that next week, I would expect. For right now, everything's
okay.
Everything's pretty cool. Everything's all right. But
everything's just, all right.
Yeah. Just, you know, one of those things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always get to work your full day.
No.
So
that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went on Saturday night after closing. My wife took the kids home.
Yeah.
Because she was like, it's going to rain. She can't sleep in a tent in a thunderstorm.
Oh,
and the kids can't sleep in a tent in a thunderstorm. And they were.
How
like,
did she survive our childhood?
She had very sleepless nights, is how she.
Oh, sweet pea.
But so she so was just rough. Like, and she was like, "You stay, go hang out with people at the den, have a good night, enjoy yourself. You know, I've got the kids, so you don't need to worry about the kids. Go hang out with people." So I was like, "Cool." So she left. And we had dinner, and then I went to the den, and everybody had gone home.
I need to tell you about my night experience with the den.
Go ahead.
Because here's what happened from my perspective.
Yeah.
I left the booth and went down to the den where I knew there was a shelter thing where I could be relatively dry. I left during a dry slump in the rain stuff, right? So I go down there, and there's nobody there. And then I went... Oh shit. It's Irish weekend for the feast. It's the Irish feast. So the boys are up there playing. All right. Well, I'm going to go back to my tent, zone a little bit, and then get stuff to bring over to the Oaks. So as I'm there, it gets to be about like 6:45, 6:50, something like that. And I get a message from our mutual friend, Robin, who is, who's like, I'm at the den, where is everybody? And I'm like, boys are playing their gig, I'm about to drop some stuff off in the Oaks, want to meet there in 15. And she's like, I have a mutual friend with us who is drunk and about to pass out in a chair in the den, so no. And I was like, you know what, I will drop stuff off at the Oaks, I will go to the den to come hang out with you for a bit, and then I'll go back to the Oaks later, maybe, or whatever. We'll figure out what happens. So by the time I dropped stuff off at the den and got, or at the Oaks, and then got to the den, the boys had showed up. So then, and basically, our buddy Robin and our mutual friend had gotten, who had finagled, they were about to get a ride from another Robin to their car so that they could leave because it's raining and fuck that. Yeah. And then the other people were leaving. And then another den person was like, well, if nobody's going to be here, I'm going to leave. And it was just me and Andy. And Andy was like, well, I can be around. And I was like, look, Andy, I'm going to go to the Oaks and see if I can get some food. But then I'll be back. And Andy's like, I'll be in my tent. Just let me know when you're here. I'll come out and hang out with you. So I go back to the Oaks, got some food. Salsa left 10 minutes before I did, because Salsa had gotten food before me. So Salsa left the Oaks. Like, we ate together, but then Salsa left 10 minutes before I left. Salsa gets to the den. There's nobody there. And Andy was like, man, I think I'm just going to pack it up. And so Salsa was leaving as I was coming. And he was like, looks like nothing's happening at the den tonight. And I'm like, fucking what? Andy told me he would hang out with me. And I get under there and Andy's like, man, I'm just not feeling it. And I'm like, son of a bitch. I could have hung out with 18 million people along the way, but I just kept missing people. Yeah. Like, by that fucking much. So anyway, I went back to my tent and I love the sound of rain on my tent.
As do I.
And as I have, because of how I have my tent structure set up, where I've got the basically the tarp over the structure and then my tent is under that, I don't even have a rain fly on my tent the way I have things set up. So I can hear everything and it is glorious and I get the nice breeze coming through. And like, I actually set the recorder on my phone to just record the sound of the rain.
Nice.
And it was lovely. So now I have, so if you need a sleep aid, Salsa, I have sounds of rain hitting a tarp at the Renaissance Festival campground. I will make that available for $1.99 as a download on your local Google Play or whatever.
Monthly subscription. Yeah.
I already have a pretty good sleep aid.
Is it booze?
No, I was going to say my wife, but...
Oh.
Cuddle up with her, smell her hair.
That's pretty adorable.
Yeah.
So,
what can I say?
Yeah.
No, I also enjoy the smell, the sound of rain.
I fucking love it. I actually,
I loved it.
Yeah, I ended up just playing games on my phone while it was raining until I got tired enough to fall asleep. And then I just set my phone to record for a while. As we got the big, bigness, like I started it right before, cause I had been watching the radar to see when the clouds were
$1.99, you say.
So yeah, I started it right as there was some rain happening and then you get the big, just, and then there's like a good 45 minutes of it as it's petering out. And then you get just a tiny little drop. I got the whole thing. I got the whole fucking thing,
nice.
Y'all.
Nice.
Very proud of this recording. It's an hour and a half. I will make this available to people in some way, shape, or form. But yeah,
hell, we can release it as a special episode.
Just that, an hour and a half of rain. Fuck yeah. Yes. All right. I'll get that file to you.
We'll figure that out.
And the title can be I'm only happy when it rains.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's it.
So, you're gone.
Do you want to, I still want to talk about other things that I did, sure, but
James,
if you have.
Wrap up what you got, James, and then we'll.
Oh, yeah. I had just gone to Booth that evening, Saturday night, and everyone was sort of huddled under the booth. Everyone was sort of huddled under the booth. I went and grabbed a burger. Got into the blit just in time for it to let loose again. Grabbed my burger. Was able to, it had reduced to drizzle, got to Booth. It started fire hosing down. I ate my burger and, was we were hanging out there for a hot second, and then everyone was kind of like, you know what, it's a good night to call it early. Let's just, we're good.
When I was in the den and Andy fucking called it, and I was like, son of a bitch, I was like, well, it's quiet right now. I could go up to the booth, but I'm pretty sure if I go up to the booth, everybody's going to be fucking up when I get up there. So it's not worth the walk up the hill to find out.
I think you would have been correct, because everyone was sort of like gathering their stuff. And then for a hot second, it was raining sideways. Everyone was like, yeah, you know, it's starting to calm down. And then the wind just suddenly picked up. Oosh. And again, let loose. And so rain was just slicing through the booth.
Right.
And and Eli upstairs was like, hey, does anybody have a plastic bin or something to catch drips up here?
Oh no!
Because the booth is not watertight from specific angles, apparently. And then
never knew I'd have to waterproof the floor, but here we are.
So everyone was like, "Yeah, it's a good time to go." All right, see you later. Bye. I love you, everybody.
Right.
Yeah. And then got down to the RV and I was going to play video games, but the sound of the rain just
knocked you out. All right. Well, I will definitely get that recording out to people then, because it's with what nature did that night. So my weekend, I'm going to give just a couple of highlights. Number one, Friday night I was hanging out, at the booth and Rob was there. Mm-hmm. And he's not normally a highlight, but thank you. I paused just for that.
Wow.
So anyway, he was like, hey, I have a question for you. And I was like, I have an answer. I don't know if you want it, but here we go. And he was like, so service awards are this Sunday. And I was wondering if you would escort me for my service award. And I was like, okay, yes, of course I'll do that. But what, why? And Rob's wife was also getting her 15 years. So like they were walking down essentially one right after the other.
Sure.
But you can't really escort each other when you're doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they each had their own escorts. And Rob was like, I really wanted somebody that I look up to as a mentor to walk me down. And I was like, oh my God. Jeez. Oh my God, I'm having so many feelings right now.
But since I couldn't find any, you'll do.
Right. No, it was honestly just this sincere moment. And I'm like, I'm having gross feelings right now. I'm not okay with this. So I got him back when we got to the halfway point. Walking him down, I went, you know, buddy, I'm really proud of you. I am the best worst. I'm so awful. But no, it was absolutely an honor to be able to walk him down. Because he has grown a fuck ton as an entertainer over the years, just over the past five years, even. Mm-hmm. He's really just grown into his own.
Yeah.
And that he considers me a person that contributed to that is like, aww. Now I'm having feelings.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and yeah, there were I had a lot of feelings over the service awards, but the other service award that happened that really hit me, there was one person that received a 50-year service award. One Gary Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And for listeners that do not know, Gary Parker is basically, in my mind, the essence of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Yep.
He spent 25 years as the Academy Director. He spent 7 years as an Entertainment Director. He does the Mechanical Man out at the Renaissance Festival.
Oh, wow.
And he mentored a whole bunch of different groups of people coming in. He at one point was working with a youth program, bringing people in. Mm-hmm. He has done a bunch of shows out at festival. He is basically, in my mind, the living essence.
90% of the people that know how to juggle learned from him.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He did juggling school as well, right? Yep. Or just general juggling. Yeah, but
the reason most of the people out there know how to juggle is because Gary taught him.
Yeah.
Like he, he is festival.
He is festival. He's the living embodiment of the festival.
He is the festival horcrux.
Fuck.
Yeah. So he got his 50 year, and basically what they do for the service awards is they read off the certificate. The king, actually went, I came up with a list that I'm going to read, and basically listed a whole bunch of Gary's personal accomplishments and things that he had done in the festival. Some of them things that I just said.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended it with, if it was not for this man, I would not be here and I would not be the king that I am. And I'm just like, tears coming down my face.
Yeah.
So Gary gets the award and he goes, I know we're not supposed to talk when getting these, but I'm going to, and nobody's going to tell Gary Parker. No, like that's not a thing ever. And he basically took this great honor that had been bestowed upon him, the 50 years and all of the accolades and the personal message from the king and all of this stuff. And he went, you are the new history of the Renaissance Festival. You are the people that carry this on. And just like, oh God, so I'm crying for a second time. I'm like, it was so powerful and so meaningful. And I was just like, but the other thing is, and this one, I'm never quite sure who's going to recognize me on any given day, really, because like, especially for like the older generation, they've seen me grow up and I look different than I did as a kid. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I ran into Gary probably about an hour later and he was like, hey, I recognize you. You're Mike's kid, right? And I was like, oh my God, yes. He's like, so do you still go to Academy every year? And I was like, okay, oh God, Gary, you're killing me right now. Oh God. And just to have that personal moment with Gary afterwards was like, I was just dead that entire morning. I just tears every half an hour. It was awful. And wonderful at the same time. So that was a big part of my weekend. The last story I want to tell, because it's too good not to share. I was actually hanging out with Jax Saturday afternoon in front of Clover Cottage.
Oh.
We were just chit-chatting and hanging out.
Yeah.
And at one point, so it's Jax and I think like a couple other people had showed up. And then we see this dog just tear across the Shepherd's Green. And then there's a clump of like 5 to 7 people chasing after this dog, like kind of in a group with that one guy trailing behind, kind of a thing. You know, you've got the visual, right?
Yeah.
And one of these people shouted, stop that dog. And then I hear at the dog races, like the announcer says something like, oh, it looks like that dog's taking a victory lap a little early. And like, so this dog had been in the dog races and just fucking booked it out of there, was like, nope, I'm gone. You have given me freedom and now I will take it for all that it is worth. And so the thing is, we watched this dog run across the Shepherd's Green and like over to one of the booths and kind of around a crowd of people. And then kind of was like paused for a second while the clump of people that was chasing the dog got up to it. And then right at that moment, the dog's like, well, fuck this, and just takes off again. And like just kind of dashed away and these people kept chasing it. And they're like, this happened a couple of times. And then it was just practically just running circles.
Now it's a delightful game.
Yeah, now it's a fucking chase. And this dog is basically running circles and somebody's like, somebody stop that dog. And I'm like, we need the Benny Hill theme song playing right now. This is so fucking good. I was dying of laughter watching this take place. And then I think the dog headed off towards a Viking encampment and we never saw it again. I choose to believe that that dog is still being chased by that clump of people to this day. It was so goddamn good. Yeah. It was
in the movie, that dog would have just swallowed the diamond or whatever it is.
Right.
Was right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Exactly that. It was so good. At some point during this chase, there was a hallway and the dog ended up chasing after the people.
No, seriously.
The dog was holding a rope and everybody ran past and tripped over the rope. And then the dog
And then like
back and forth,
one of the people in the group pokes their head around the corner. And then another person above that person pokes their head around the corner. And then the dog pokes his head. Yep. And everybody looks at him and they're like, oh, wait a minute. Turns out it was old man Carruthers the entire time.
Yep. It was capitalism the whole time.
Anyway, so that was my glorious, glorious story.
Fuck, that's so good.
Had to share.
Delightful.
Should we maybe take a break, you guys? Because I'm out of booze.
Yeah, we could do that, I guess.
Yeah, right. I appreciate that. I like my booze.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Should we podcast or something?
Fuck no.
Oh, okay then. Cool. I'll just hang out here and look cool then.
Like any of us could look cool.
I look cool all the time, bitch. Don't take this from me.
Can't take what you don't have.
What? Rude.
Them's fighting words.
Oh, shit.
Fucking gauntlet thrown.
Bitch, I will... You show up to my booth, all right? You show up to my... You haven't shown up to my booth yet. Son of a bitch.
Because I've got better things to do.
That's completely inaccurate. I don't buy that for a second.
Oh, Salsa, do you want to come hang out at the booth sometime?
No, James. Why would I want to do that?
Because you don't have any better things to do?
There are times when I'm not there.
Yeah.
But
I suppose.
Instead somewhere
else. I'm way too busy making a shitload of money.
I think that just sounds like a bullshit excuse, really. And we're back.
Oh, here we are, yeah.
Christ.
Yeah, we've been back for a while. I just, you know. I didn't know if you had noticed, so I thought I'd tell you that we're back.
I wasn't paying any attention.
I know you weren't.
As per usual.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm James.
Oh.
And I'm Jenna.
I'm Salsa.
Oh, all right.
And it's a really good time I have queued up this Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... No, wrong one.
Not as easy as it looks, is it, motherfucker?
You're supposed to be the one that pushes the buttons.
Not these buttons. These are the wrong buttons.
Oh, they are the right buttons.
I'm used to pushing buttons. Jenna's buttons.
I am so well aware of that.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Yes, we're doing this again.
All right.
Chat GPT.
Oh, welcome
back
to the stage of history.
Yeah.
I will accept this in the meantime. Chat GPT, I will accept this for the meantime.
Oh, I thought, okay. It's opening thoughts. It says, hey there, apriposters. I hope you're having a day that's as wonderfully random as a pineapple wearing a tutu at a disco party.
Ah.
I don't know how random that is, but...
I want one.
I mean, that just sounds like a swinger community.
Oh, now you ruined it, James.
Good. That's my job. I'm doing my job.
That was Salsa's job.
Yeah.
Salsa's job is not to care about it.
Oh. No, that's actually a fair. You can ruin it. Salsa doesn't care about it. I get disgruntled about the entire affair. All right. Straight check that.
Anyway, to finish, it says, stay quirky and keep those absurd thoughts coming. The world needs more laughter and confusion.
Oh, we're so good at both.
Yep. Primarily confusion.
Mostly confusion.
Mostly that.
Every time James opens his mouth.
Yeah.
Question number one. Teach or challenge? I'm going to go with challenge because if you're trying to teach somebody, you actually have to have like a goal in mind or something to impart. But if you just challenge somebody, you don't necessarily have to be able to do it yourself. You know,
I mean, like,
let me teach you how to do this thing. Let me teach you how to cook a souffle. Well, now I have to demonstrate. Let me challenge you to cook
you
a
just
souffle.
Fold it in, David.
Yeah. Let me challenge you to cook a souffle. I can't do it, but I challenge you to do it.
Those who can't do teach. I feel like in the last segment, I did this long portion about mentoring and people that have had influence and who have taught me things. So I kind of feel like I have to go with teach for this one. Like, be a little hypocritical if I didn't. Although I will say, one of the ways that I teach is I challenge. So...
I believe Salsa's idea of challenging someone to do something when you yourself do not know how is exactly how a particular burlesque show came to be. The other thing that I will note.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That
you are correct in this assessment.
Speaking also of the Benny Hill theme.
Right.
The way that I like to impart knowledge is to give students a puzzle to solve and then let them come up with the correct answer because it sticks. They remember that experience and that thought process and the solution to that puzzle far better than they will remember a PowerPoint slide. So asking them questions, giving them puzzles, giving them activities, to the point where one of my students at one point had said, like, hey, what's our Mr. Miyagi activity today? I was like, cool of you to ask. This is what's up. Today is networking day, favorite of all days. So I'm gonna go with challenge.
All right. Question number two. Duck or cactus?
I hang out with a duck a lot, and I help him direct his autobiographical shows. And we do have, Duck is the executive director for the Twin Cities Horror Festival, which is right around the corner. So I think I'm going to go with Duck.
Do I see myself as more of a duck, like Duck Washington, or do I see myself as more of a cactus, who would be Salsa? Am I more of a Duck Washington or
you're so
Salsa?
Prickly.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I think they both outclass me as performers, but I have to say I'm very outgoing. So I would like to believe that I am more of a duck than a salsa, than a cactus.
I think of the two Marx Brothers movies, Duck Soup or Go West. Duck Soup.
I did like Duck Soup. That was a good
Duck
one.
Soup is really
Duck Soup yeah. is classic.
Yeah.
That is a
Go wonder. West is a fun one, but yeah, Duck Soup is the quintessential.
Pretty much, yeah.
That was the one that was parodied by the Animaniacs, is that right?
Possibly.
I wouldn't be surprised.
They're heirs to a far flung, otherwise unheard of country.
I mean, it's been parodied.
Yeah. It has been parodied.
I was just wondering if I was thinking of the correct one.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway. Than that.
All right.
Is that it? I mean, Duck, Duck, Gray Duck? Is that what we chose?
That is what I
chose.
Duck,
Duck, Cactus?
I don't think did anybody choose Cactus? I think we all went Duck.
I think we, yeah. All right. Question number three. Pizza or ice cream?
Which item that I can no longer eat do I miss the most? I don't know if that is the context, but that's what I'm going with. And they've made some pretty good fucking strides in non-dairy ice cream. Mm. But the thing is, if I could only pick one of these to be able to eat, it would be pizza. And here's why. Cheese is really fucking hard. It's like the last vestige of dairy-free, like, being able to make that work properly. It's really close, and it's pretty decent. And in fact, I had a dairy-free pizza tonight. But the other thing is, like, people go out for pizza as a group more often than they go out for ice cream as a group. And I miss being able to just go out and have some pizza. Like,
there's something nice about going to just like get ice cream.
Oh, it's nice and it's lovely, but the occasion or opportunity comes up far less frequently for me.
Yeah.
And there are places that I can go out and go have ice cream. There are much fewer places that I can go out and just grab a slice. Like, sure. I miss just being able to go out and eat pizza with people. Mm. So between the two of them, I think I'm going to have to go pizza.
Mm. I think I'm going to choose pizza based on what I believe the context to be, which would be as a child, which thing did you ask for more?
Oh, still pizza.
Pizza or ice cream. And like, I've always liked ice cream. My parents were big into frozen yogurt because they, like everyone else, believe it to be you know, much healthier. And maybe it is. I don't have the info on that.
Right.
But we definitely ask for pizza way, way more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jerry checks out.
I like ice cream, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. I think there's something universal about pizza.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and also as a kid, Pizza Hut with the reader program.
That, yeah.
Oh, man.
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, well, no, it was specifically that reader coupon where mm-hmm. like you read so much and you get a free personal pan pizza. Mm-hmm. Buddy, I read so much because I was poor and starving. like, I got pizzas all the time because of that. It was great.
Yeah, I did that, and they had the kids club, and they also had like the family nights where kids ate free as long as two adults had got at least one entree or something like that, and it was
yeah.
Like, my parents always took advantage of those. If we were going to go somewhere, we were going to go somewhere on a night when some of us didn't have to pay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where some of our meals were free. So, Pizza Hut became a regular thing on those nights when especially one parent had to watch us and it would be free for the kids to eat as long as the parent with them got
right
a slice of pizza or something. Yeah.
Yeah. No, my parents had six kids. They were going to cut corners wherever they could.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, you say with one parent entree that the kids eat free. Make them fucking regret it. Yeah.
Yep.
Eh. Anyway.
Yeah. So question number four. Ninja or scientist?
T-U-R-T-L-E power. T-U-R-T-L-E power.
Is Donatello more of a ninja or a scientist? Oh.
Mm. Ninja.
I mean, I think you should... Leonardo was probably more... the scientist.
No, Leonardo leads. Donatello does machines.
Yeah.
Raphael is cool but rude. Michelangelo is a party.
Oh,
party
I theory. Thought you were talking about the actual like artist Donatello.
Oh.
Like Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, was more also of a scientist.
More of a scientist.
Than Donatello.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I thought you meant by that.
No, I got it right away.
Well, thank you.
I didn't watch the cartoon that much.
T-U-R-T-L-E
power. T-U-R-T-L-E power.
I didn't watch a lot of TV growing
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think being a ninja sounds fun in like theory, but it's a lot of work.
Whereas being a scientist
is just a lot of paperwork. But as long as you write it down, it's science.
I thought it was just standing in front of a bunch of glowing beakers.
And yeah.
One of those Jacob's Ladder
art. Like it's tedious. Yeah. It's tedious bookwork. But tedious bookwork is kind of my jam.
That's fair.
Tedious bookwork is my math.
I'm sorry, Tedious Bookwork is your what?
Math rock album.
Ah.
Some nerdcore stuff. Love it.
Ah. E. The number E. More than two, less than three. E. The number E. So I've got math rock going through my head.
Yeah.
This is your fault.
I'm subscribed to their information. I've bought their albums. All right.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Jesse used to listen to it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought they were super cool.
Three is a magic number.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to say I personally am probably more like a ninja than a scientist.
In and out like that, and no one knows you were there.
Yes.
But you write everything down.
Oh, shit. Which was my best insult? The ninja insult or my Stephen Hawking insult?
Oh. I feel like you went by Jeninja for a while. So this one.
I did.
Should be pretty much
I really feel like I'm pretty much ninja, but like. I don't know. That Stephen Hawking one was a really good insult.
I wanted to be a ninja as a kid, like everyone else. But I wanted to be a scientist. I've wanted to be a scientist most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say scientist.
Okay.
All right.
I have greater aspirations towards science than I do, you know, pre-Meiji era assassinations.
Okay. All right. Question number five.
Five.
Marshmallow.
Why? Anyway.
Marshmallows or spaghetti?
Oh.
Well, I can actually eat marshmallows, so I'm going with that one.
That's a. I mean, you could probably
when you do the cooker camper thing. Are you more likely to roast marshmallows or make one of those sandwich things with spaghetti on the inside? Have you guys done that? It's ridiculous, and I highly recommend
it.
Okay, so you know the little sandwich press. You take spaghetti and you smush it in between two pieces of bread because you can never get enough carbs. And you make a fucking spaghetti sandwich with all the sauce and shit in it. And you put extra cheese in it. And it is so fucking good. And I can't have them anymore. And I'm mad about it. But you should do that. Yeah. Basically, it makes a calzone of glorious.
Yeah. I do the s'mores in the sandwich maker. You take two pieces of bread and you put the chocolate and the marshmallow inside of it in the sandwich press. And those are delicious.
So good. So fucking good.
Would you rather watch a marshmallow fluff movie or a spaghetti western?
Oh, I'm going with fluff. Here's the thing. Like, okay, so I'm an artist and I do theater shit, right?
I, for one, am shocked.
Ostensibly. But here's the thing. Like, I've done a lot of art for art's sake, and I've done a lot of art for impact's sake. But, like, honestly, pandemic hit, and now I just want fluffy shit. Give me escapism. Give me a way out for a little bit for my brain. Like, there is a fucking value in that that people just kind of dismiss. And I, for one, am here for it. It's a fluff marshmallow.
I stumbled on a recipe for Rice Krispie bars. But instead of marshmallow, you use honey and peanut butter.
See, now I can't have it.
Oh, I'm not saying that you have to have it. I'm just saying that I stumbled on this recipe.
I'm not going to have it.
Yeah, foods that Jenna can't eat are illegal. I don't know if you have been informed.
I mean, if I can take something that Jenna likes and ruin it for her, I will.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Anyway.
Is
it a windshield wiper or a metronome? Nobody knows.
I mean, it wasn't equally on both sides, so
that's
it would be a windshield wiper.
Yeah, probably a windshield wiper.
Oh, no, I hurt my back. I just remembered I tried to do that. That one probably.
Jenna hurt her back trying to flip me off.
I was successful, So worth it, motherfucker.
Okay, yes. Jenna hurt her back successfully flipping me off.
Yes.
Yes.
I will pay that price again in the future, I'm sure.
Have to make it clear, yeah. reasons that I am, that I have put on weight, more likely marshmallows and sweets and things than pasta. Despite being a person who enjoys pasta and like meat and potatoes and stuff more than candy. Yeah. I think it's because when I eat meat and potatoes stuff and pasta, like a dinner, main course stuff, that I feel full faster.
Sure.
And it's just a more satisfying food. Whereas candy, like I could take out a whole bag of gummy sharks.
See, I don't actually eat a lot of sweets.
I don't eat as many pasta, sweets as I used to either.
Pasta is my favorite food on the planet. I love pasta.
See,
give me a bowl of spaghetti or ravioli or whatever, and I...
Linguine.
Yeah. Love it.
I miss pasta. That is, like, people were so excited for the new pasta booth out at Fest this year, and I was just like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I would have eaten there daily if I could. Are you kidding me? That is my goddamn jam.
I can actually relate to Jenna on this one.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, because you can't eat at all during the day, so you're just like, aw.
Jenna, they've got meatballs on a stick. They're delicious.
That's not why I want to go to a pasta booth, though.
No, it's not for the meatballs.
No. Like, I'm sure they have things I can eat, but if I'm going to a pasta booth, I want pasta. That's basically the point. Occasionally, Joe and I will carve out time to go to Italian Eatery, where I know I'm going to be loaded with gluten and dairy and things that are going to fuck with my insides, but it's goddamn worth it because pasta covered in cheese is fucking delicious.
Yes, it is.
That's just
amazing.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't go to the Italian Eatery for the fucking French fries is what I'm saying.
I just got a stiffy.
Yeah. Yep. Same, actually. Now this got awkward.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on then. question number one, teach or challenge? You're stuck in an elevator with a talking parrot.
Oh.
Would you rather, A, teach it your deepest secrets, knowing it'll blab to everyone?
Oh.
Or B, challenge it to a rap battle for elevator supremacy?
B, obviously.
B.
Fucking what?
Yeah.
I don't really have too many secrets, but probably B, because that just sounds fucking awesome.
Yep. I mean, if you replace the word talking parrot with podcast, then it's going to be A.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, yeah, even if I lose the rap battle, that's a story.
Rap battle, motherfucker.
That you can tell on your podcast.
On the podcast, yeah.
So, a person I knew, a friend of mine was a Satanist, and he had a talking bird. Okay, I could actually drop a name. It's kind of a big deal, but I didn't, so fuck you. Anyway, he had a talking bird. It's not a parrot, but it's one of the other bird
like
types.
Like a minor bird?
Like a minor, yeah.
It's like a, it's gray, it's, anyway, but this bird could talk and repeat things. And so this friend of mine was a Satanist with this bird, and he tolerated me. I think he had a crush on me, actually. He really liked me. And Jesus aside, I guess is what it was. But to fuck with him. I tried to teach his bird every time he was around. I tried to teach his bird how to say Jesus loves me. Never took. I'm very unhappy with that. It was like, son of a bitch. He's like, if you ever get a talking bird, I'm going to teach it how to say Satan loves me. And I'm like, that's fine. Bird can go to the hell for your sins. Whatever. That's okay. It's a bird. I don't actually think that's how it works, by the way. Case
you just can't send your pet by proxy? What?
Nope. Nah. Damn, gotta serve the time yourself, buddy. Persephone, right? That's the one you've been pouring all that into?
No, Arabella, definitely. Question number two. Duck or cactus?
I just thought with the name.
Right? Duck or cactus? You've been invited to a costume party.
Ooh.
But you have to choose between these outfits. A human-sized rubber ducky costume that you can't sit down in. Or B, a giant cactus costume that comes with a spiky hug warning label.
Cactus.
The cactus is really good, but giant rubber ducky?
I know, right? Like, I was all excited up until the point where I couldn't sit down, and the cactus had the bonus. Cactus had the bonus of not having people assume they could hug me.
Cactus is
what sold me on it, honestly.
Cactus
it's not
has
the...
all the pluses. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what were you saying, Jenna?
Basically what that was, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I apologize.
Eh.
Yeah, no, the can't sit down, that was the deal breaker for me, no matter what the second one would have been.
Yeah, I agreed. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Question number three, pizza or ice cream? You're on a deserted island with a magical genie, but you can only make one wish. Do you wish for an unlimited pizza delivery, but with pineapple as the only topping?
Of a bitch!
Or B, a bottomless supply of ice cream, but it's always the flavor you like least.
Pizza, then. Because pineapple pizza would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, there's.
I'd eat that.
I would absolutely do that.
That's the thing. Okay, assuming I don't have any dairy, gluten, pineapple issues.
Right.
I would probably go with the pizza, and here's why.
Pretending for a moment that you're a normal person.
Right, exactly. That's going to be tricky, but I'll do my best. No, here's the thing, is that the pizza is just going to have more nutrients, right? So regardless of my dislike of pineapple, it will have more nutrients for me.
Pineapple off, too.
I could. Hopefully. Although it's still going to have that juice on there, and that's going to...
Sure, but you
whatever.
Can take most of it.
But yeah. But honestly, like, in a deserted island situation where, like, that's probably going to be my main source of sustenance, because, come on, if you have pizza delivery, that's going to be your main source of sustenance. I would probably leave the pineapple on if I could eat it, because that would be additional nutrients.
I am going to take this one in a completely different direction.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
This says a bottomless supply of ice cream, but unlimited pizza deliveries.
Okay.
If somebody is delivering this pizza, I can find ways of getting messages back and get rescued.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Possibly. The chances
are higher. The possibility is better.
The chances are much higher for me to find a way to get rescued. Whereas a supply of ice cream just means it's there. But a delivery implies something is bringing it to you.
Right.
Just turns out that a very particular Domino's drone is just getting lost and dropping a pizza every 24 hours.
I mean, if there's some way you can shoot down the drone or, you know, catch it and then attach a note to it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the chance.
Right.
I saw that episode of Gilligan.
That with the drone?
Basically.
Probably.
Question four. You know, it's amazing. For as deserted as they were, there was always some way for somebody else to make their way to that
shitload
island.
Shitload of people. Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Question number four. Ninja or scientist? You're in a zombie apocalypse. Oh, fuck.
Oh.
Stupid fucking zombie. And you have to pick your trusty sidekick.
Okay.
A clumsy but well-intentioned ninja who constantly trips over their own shoelaces.
So it's me?
Or
right,
B,
basically.
A genius scientist who can invent gadgets, but only speaks in riddles.
So it's...
So it's me? Also James.
Yeah. James already always speaks in riddles. I'm used to that. I can accept that. Go with B.
Yeah, that's the thing. And honestly, if I have a sidekick that's a ninja that is bumbling, like, that's kind of useless to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do that. Whereas a scientist, like, I know some science shit, but not nearly to the level that I would want for a zombie apocalypse. So I will deal with the Sphinxian riddles. I just really wanted to say Sphinxian.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. To be able to have access to all of the science. Yeah, I think that's
absolutely
fair.
That one seems a no-brainer to me. All right, question number five, marshmallows or spaghetti? You have been invited to join a circus act. Hell yeah.
Ooh.
But you can only choose one skill to perform. Fuck you. You're not the boss of me. damn it.
Right?
All right.
They are for this question.
Fine. A.
Fair.
Juggling flaming marshmallows blindfolded.
Jesus.
Or B. Walking a tightrope while balancing a plate of spaghetti.
I would probably be better at the plate of spaghetti.
I was going to say, do marshmallows, like, stop having the basic laws of thermodynamics and physics applied to them if we're juggling them?
I'm sure you can win gloves.
There's probably a way to do it that involves, like, pairing the marshmallows in a particular way.
The problem is that the more a marshmallow like is burning, the more it melts, and the more you're just going to have fucking burning hot shit on your hands,
napalm
sticking to it. Basically, like, I don't even like heights, and I would rather balance spaghetti if we're applying the laws of physics to it.
Yeah. Even with that, just seems poorly thought out.
Yeah, not so much.
I would do the tight. I already juggle, so I would do the tightrope.
I don't juggle, but I would do the tightrope anyway. I do balance shit, so you know.
Well, a favorite activity that I had as a kid was balancing on chains that were strung between two places.
Yep,
and walking like half-inch wide railing boards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I did walk the boards a lot. Under the boardwalk.
We had, at the cattle feeding troughs growing up, there were steel cables strung up, and I would walk across those.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, anyway, closing thoughts. Yeah. It says, remember, life's a comedy. Sometimes it's slapstick, sometimes a witty one-liner. Keep laughing, and may your day be as bright as a clown's nose on a sunny morning.
Aww. That was awesome.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. Does anybody have any shout-outs?
I would actually really like to give a shout out to, and this is going to sound gross, but I want to give a shout out to Eric Knight, or Pedantic Eric. He, over the weekend, won the Keeper of the Flame award, or was added to the Keeper of the Flame thing. I don't know if you win it. You're just You inherit it. Yeah. You're awarded it, right?
Yeah.
And he has been, honestly, as far back as I can remember, one of my main staples growing up. Hey, you're old, Eric. but also just like, you know, a person that has continually looked for ways of keeping the magic alive and continuing to bring a sense of community and patron involvement into the festival. And so he got that this weekend. I was at the fencing booth when that happened. But we could hear the cheers over there. And I was like, what the fuck is happening over there? And I give him a lot of shit because he's a friend. That's what I do to my friends. I need to reexamine my life. But no, fucking well-deserved, well-won. And shout out to you for continuing to do amazing work at the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah, no, I second that one 100%.
Now you're about to look like an asshole if you don't, James.
well, I'm fine with that. No, I would like to give a shout out to all of the people who have mentored me, both at the booth, some of whom are probably listening to this podcast. But also those people who have mentored me in my performance career and pushed me to do more and to seek different outlets for things. For example, Jenna encouraging me to try out for Vilten. Salsa encouraging me to not try to fill the shoes of Sir Tedward, but to strike out and to find something that is more comfortable for me, where I can express what it is that I do, what I do best, and to try that first. And so all of those people who have mentored me out at Fest, including my co-hosts, and also the concierge, Eric Knight. Thank you. And a shout out to all of you.
I'm going to give my shout out to Hockey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hockey's awesome. The preseason started on Sunday. I was backstage listening to the game between shows. Hell yeah. Y'all seems can right. Do your sappy, like, oh, you know, this is special, blah, blah, blah. No, Hockey. It started, bitches.
All right.
Be warned.
That's an amazing NHL tagline. Hockey. It started, bitches.
Yeah.
EA Sports. It's in the game, bitches.
God damn it.
Yep.
Does sports, anybody have... you're gonna fucking watch it.
Yeah. Anything to plug?
Yeah, I do, actually. The Twin Cities Horror Festival, number 12, XII, is coming to you this fucking October. The dates are October 19th to October 29th. There are 11 different productions happening over the course of 11 fucking days, and you want to see each one of those productions. And the way the Twin Cities Horror Festival works is that you can. We have made sure that there is enough performances and enough time for you to be able to see every single one of those. Important thing available to you, and you need to know about this if you want to see all of the shows. We have options available to you. Tickets have gone online at the tchorrorfestival.com website. Ooh. And we have a couple of different pass options. We have the Skeleton Key Pass. I believe we still have just a couple of those left. You want to grab those. This pass is good for admission for one individual to attend each show participating in the 2023 Twin Cities Horror Festival. It does not reserve a seat, but can be used to pay for a reservation. So basically, you buy the Skeleton Key Pass, you have the upfront amount of money for 11 shows. You still need to go to that show and click the reserve button. You will have a little code that you can use to reserve your seat in that show. You just can't walk up to a show and be like, hey, I have a Skeleton Key Pass, give me a seat. They'll be like, we sold out, bitch, sorry. You have to reserve that ahead of time. Also available right now is the 5 Frights Pass. This pass is good for 5 discounted tickets to performances during the 2023 Twin Cities Horror Festival. This is replacing our 4 Horsemen of the Apocalypse Pass. We had a desire for more shows per pass, so we went to the 5 Frights as opposed to the 4. Is math is basically what that is. These tickets can be used for separate performances or for multiple seats to one performance. So if you want to bring 5 friends to one particular show, grab yourself a 5 Frights Pass. All 5 of you can get in under that 5 Frights Pass. Right? This pass does not reserve a patron seat, but it can be used to pay for reservations. So again, you have your 5 Frights Pass. You go onto the website, you say reserve, and you can use that pass with the code to be able to reserve those seats. So that is the thing I wanted to let you all know about right now. We have so many amazing shows coming up, and I will continue to be talking about this up until and also during the horror festival. So deal with that, motherfuckers. And we do have individual tickets available for individual shows. Go to the website, tchorrorfestival.com, click on the show, grab a seat, go get it, especially those studio shows where there's only 40 seats per night. If you want to see the studio shows, you go reserve those seats now. Well, that is what you want to do.
Some of these are put on, just looking at the schedule, some of these are put on by renowned they're all put on by renowned artist groups, but like some of them are renowned artist groups that sell out fucking instantly.
And we haven't had like the studio stuff sells out the quickest. That's where your focus should be. We haven't had a lot of like, oh my god, sellouts, like the entire run sellout things before the horror festival happens. But there have definitely been sellout shows that have happened during the festival, in the main stage area. Reserving your seat is just the best way to know where you're going to be and that you're going to be able to see that show. Definitely take a look at our studio shows. I think I believe Hot Chocolate Media is one of those studio shows. Our friend Kyle Decker is a producer of that.
Along with some really fucking cool people.
But my point is that if you want to see Kyle's show, you should be reserving that ticket now because it is in the studio and that will sell out. That is 40 seats compared to the almost 90 that exist in the main stage area. You have to reserve those studio shows in advance. So that's the part that I'm trying to push here. And then I'll talk more about the rest of the Twin Cities Horror Festival later. I'm sure I've got plenty to say as we get closer. But get those passes and reservations in now. Cool. That's what I'm saying.
Just taking a cursory glance at it, I already see at least 5 shows that I want to see.
No. Well, get yourself a 5 Frights Pass. You can go to each one of them under that pass.
Yep.
Obviously, Casimir will be at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival closing weekend. And we'll also be at Baraboo, Wisconsin for a gathering of rogues and ruffians the second weekend of October. And then I will take off my Casimir hat and put on my directing hat. And I will be directing a show coming up in early November
So we'll talk more about that later. A little hint of something coming up. So.
Well, all right then.
Any final thoughts?
Anything?
Oh, sorry. I thought he already.
Oh, maybe. James, did you have anything to plug? Okay, cool.
Okay. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for everybody who listens to this thing. Thank you to whoever's sending in these ChatGPT things. Jesus is not sending these in, I can guarantee
you.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.